We here are all such innovative people. So I am telling you, if you want to change the world, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to build the Iron Man suit, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to play theme music during your convocation speech like a badass, we're at Georgia Tech. We can do that. I am doing that.
And we are doing this. This is the podcast known as What's the Good Word? A podcast about Georgia Tech athletics by Georgia Tech alum and fans. For Georgia Tech alum and fans, my name is Steven. I'm the alum. His name is Joshua. He is the fan. Joshua, what's the good word?
To hell with Georgia, Steven. Always and forever.
Absolutely. Happy spring. Spring has sprung. We are knee-deep in the spring sports season. So after thinking we were done with basketball and having to bring basketball back, we actually don't have any basketball news to say. The women's team did finish up in the WBIT tournament. Unfortunately, they were on the way wrong end of a score with Mississippi State. But congratulations, they did make a postseason tournament. A lot of good things to look forward to for both basketball teams next year. But we're going to talk softball, we're going to talk baseball, we're going to talk some other spring sports, and maybe even a little bit of transfer portal news. But before we get to any of that, and I know at least one fan of the show hates it when we do this, but I don't care.
Well, it just means that he hasn't acknowledged the tribal chief.
So we're going to continue to do this either through WrestleMania if he drops the belt, or afterward if he remains the champion, because we continue to acknowledge our tribal chief, Roman Reigns, surpassing 1,300 days as WWE Universal Undisputed Heavyweight Champion of the world.
24/7, 7/11.
No, that's not his title. I'm going to get mad at you for that. So, Roman, we acknowledge you. Good luck at WrestleMania, and good luck to Cody, too. Anyway, so a couple little quick things that I want to hit. By the way, almost all this stuff is going to come from RamblinRec.com. I am going to shout out another website when we talk about softball. But, Joshua, did you know that there was a groundbreaking that's been happening on the Tech campus that has to do with sports?
I believe I saw a headline about it. I got a brief description, but I didn't want to get too much because I figured that you would be right on top of it.
Well, RamblinRec.com is right on top of it. The Fanning Center. Georgia Tech officially broke ground on the Thomas A. Fanning Student Athlete Performance Center. It's going to be located in the northeast corner of Bobby Dodd Stadium at Hyundai Field. It had been approved in 2022. It's a 100,000 square foot facility. Will be a state-of-the-art hub for Georgia Tech student athletes with areas dedicated to strength and conditioning, sports medicine, including mental health services, and nutrition, as well as expanded and enhanced meeting and office space exclusive to Georgia Tech football.
Of course.
That comes from RamblinRec.com. They had a photo gallery. They had a story behind it. So if you want to learn more, look into the Fanning Center. I don't know, and I'm sure that article talks, it's going to be a project that goes on for a little while, but you know, trying to compete, one of the ways you do that is through your facilities. So kudos to Georgia Tech Athletic Department for starting that. Also from RamblinRec.com, the NCAA Championships in Swimming and Diving for the spring season are actually starting this week, Wednesday, March the 27th through Saturday, March the 30th in Indianapolis. There are 9 Tech swimmers and divers that are competing. There are 4 qualifying swimmers in various races, the 200 free, the 100 breaststroke, the 200 IM, and the 1650 free have some Tech swimmers. Also, there is Max Fowler will represent Tech's divers. He did very well in the Zone B Diving Championships. He's going to compete in the 1 meter and 3 meter events. And then there are also going to be a couple of swimmers in the relay, the 400 and 800 relay events. So 9 swimmers and divers all together. And hopefully we'll bring home some medals from
the swimming and diving. We get to cover it next week because it starts the day we're recording this on Wednesday. Yeah. And it'll wrap up around the weekend. So
hopefully there will be some things to cover.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, other big news. I want to let you know the men's and women's tennis season continues. And the women's tennis team is currently standing at number 20 overall in the ITA rankings. And specifically, we want to give a shout out, and this is on RamblinRec.com. So want to give a shout out to Georgia Tech freshman Scarlett Nicholson. She's been named the ACC Women's Tennis Freshman of the Week. She had three wins last weekend to go undefeated in doubles and singles action. And her performance, along with the rest of the team, helped the Yellow Jackets jump four spots from number 24 up to number 20. Nicholson comes from Hales from Toronto, Ontario. She split a pair of matches last weekend. She won Tech's only singles match at Florida State, defeating Millie Bissett in a super tie break. She also partnered with Kylie Bilchev, and they topped a team from Florida State 6-1 for their first ACC doubles win of the season. And then they went to Miami on Sunday, and she won her singles match. And then she also, so she just won the singles match. So anyway, they upset Miami as a team over the weekend, and that also helped them jump the spot. So we want to congratulate and salute Scarlett Nicholson for being ACC Freshman of the Week in women's tennis. Joshua, you want to talk some baseball?
Well, I don't really want to because it's not good news.
Uh-oh.
But we have to because we covered the team, and it's the last remaining big-time spring sport. So Georgia Tech, coming off a sweep of 13th-ranked NC State at the time, they had a away series against North Carolina. They went up to Chapel Hill, and coming in, North Carolina was ranked 20th. So a chance to build even more momentum in the ACC. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, all of the momentum that Tech had built was washed away by the Tar Heels in a clean sweep of the weekend by North Carolina. And it was games of all different kinds. The first game was a very, very close game. Georgia Tech only lost by 1-5-4. Even though they tried to make a game of it, they went into the top of the ninth inning down 5-2. They scored two runs. They were not able to seal the deal, but they at least made it close. Notable performances. Drew Burris hit his 14th home run of the season. And you also had – I'm looking at the wrong side. That was the issue. You had another 2-for-3 day from Carson Kearse, who continues his torrid stretch at the plate. Other than that, I mean, it was just a lot of kind of one-hit days here and there. Trey Younger did go 2-for-5. But Mason Patel struggled as the starter, only lasting four innings while giving up five runs. Tons of credit needs to be given to the bullpen. They went four shutout innings, only giving up one hit between the four relievers that came in. Terry Busey, Brett Thomas, Ben King, and Michael Cavalla. Just the offense was not able to get enough of enough momentum, and then unfortunately did not finish it off in time to secure the win. The Saturday game was not nearly as close. It was an 11-5 win from North Carolina. This time the bullpen did kind of play a role. Specifically, Tate McKee did not pitch super well in his 2 2/3 innings, giving up four runs. Dawson Brown also gave up three runs. But the offense, again, did not necessarily come through. They had seven total hits, three of them from the leadoff spot, Trey Younger. Everybody else, there was only a scattered assortment of hits here and there, although Carson Kearse did have two RBIs down at the bottom of the order. No home runs, not even any doubles, just a lot of singles, and that's kind of probably why they did not score a ton of runs or did not get to where they needed to get to. And then the final game on Sunday was a 9-2 defeat. Logan McGuire got the start, only lasted three innings, five runs, three walks, no strikeouts. Not much that the offense really did here. Shea Sprague had a tremendous start for the Tar Heels, lasting eight innings, five hits, two walks, six strikeouts, and only one earned run. Just not the Georgia Tech offense no-showed in this series, basically. You did get a two-hit performance from Drew Burris, but that was 40% of the total hit output in this game. Just not a great day. And they were supposed to play Kennesaw State yesterday on Tuesday, but it got postponed due to the storm that was up here. Mm-hmm. I do not know when they will be making that up, but Kennesaw State has been a good team this year, so that is definitely a game to watch out for. They could definitely take the Yellow Jackets by surprise.
Yeah. Remind me, I apologize if you said it at the beginning, where do we stand now record-wise?
So record-wise, Georgia Tech is 16-7 on the year.
Okay.
They are 3-3 in the conference, which is not the greatest, but it's like three good wins and then three losses that you can understand, but after beating NC State, you kind of hoped that they would beat UNC as well. But
well, baseball's an up and down season. We are in the teeth of it now, and the kind of grinding out the ACC schedule. So next, we will wish them the best.
Next series is Boston College. Yep. They will be coming to Georgia Tech for a Thursday, Friday, Saturday game, and then on Tuesday they will play Presbyterian, the Blue Hose.
Hello.
H-O-S-E, like a fire hose.
Interesting.
Yeah, no idea where that comes from.
Somebody had some fun with that.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if we called him the hose?
So real quick, one sport we haven't really talked about at all much, especially this spring, but just has really started kicking off their spring schedule. The track and field team is kicking off their outdoor schedule. I do want to just shout out early ahead of time. If you ever want to see the Georgia Tech track and field team in person, they are hosting the Georgia Tech Invitational Friday, April 19th. And I believe they also will, so it's a 2-day meet. So I believe they Friday, Saturday. So the Friday meet starts at 5:30. Go to ramblinrec.com and you can get tickets for that and learn more about that. I do want to say that the, men's track and field, they competed most recently at the FSU relays. And while nobody won any of the events, they did. There's a great article just kind of talking about how they certainly finished across multiple events. And a quick shout out to Eric Singleton Jr.
Hey, I know that name.
Yeah, on the Hey, I Know That Guy on the men's 100 meter dash, he finished second with a time of 10.56. That's pretty fast, but we all knew that from watching him on the football field. But
yeah, without, much faster than me.
Yeah, without pads, he is competing. And he is certainly not the only member on the team. There were definitely, RamblerRec.com really shouts out the individual performances. And you can follow the team on their website. So now I want to talk a little softball. And I want to start by telling everybody that we'll give some game results here in a second, but I do want to give a shout out to another website, FromTheRumbleSeat.com. If you're not following that, FromTheRumbleSeat.com is part of SB Nation, and they do, of course, Tech Sports. And there was a very good article written by Jack Purdy, and want to shout him out. It came just this week on 22nd. It was published, and it was the coaching power behind Georgia Tech softball's historic offense. He basically has a sit-down interview with Tech's new hitting coach for the softball team, and that's Hunter Bunch. Hunter Bunch had been at Incarnate Word before coming to Georgia Tech this season, and he kind of kicks off the article by talking about last year's team and how the team really felt like they underperformed, especially offensively. And the team, made up of mostly the same players, is doing so much better this year. They are currently, as of the writing of that article, they were fourth nationally in home runs. Because after all,
chicks dig the long ball.
Tech chicks dig the long ball, especially in softball. And they're tied for 29th in doubles. They also have cut their strikeouts down by a third and are fifth in the nation in walks. So much like the Atlanta Braves, Kevin Seitzer had a seismic difference in the Braves' offensive output. The Lady Jackets, the softball team, have seen a huge change. So I shout out that article. Go look at it. There's a very good transcript of his sit-down interview. He also talks to third baseman Mallory Black in the interview, and just a very good article. So wanted to give them a shout. Great article that kind of, you know, we've been talking about it, how the team has done so good offensively, and that was a very good write-up about some of the reasons why they've seen so much improvement this year. Speaking of the improvement, just want to give you a quick update that as of right now, the softball team stands at 22-12 overall. They are 8-4 in the conference. Most recently, as of this recording, they just came off a series with Notre Dame over the weekend that unfortunately did not, they won one out of three of those games, won the opening game 7-5, and then lost 6-3 and 6-5. And then this last week, during the week on, That was the week before. I apologize.
Didn't want to embarrass you on
Yeah. During the week, this last week, they did have two straight wins over Charleston Southern and Coastal Carolina. We had talked right as the Charleston Southern game had happened. They again went 1-2 over the weekend against North Carolina because, right, we had
they traveled
about,
together.
Exactly.
Traveling so, caravan.
So they lost 9-3, they won 6-2, and then lost 7-2. The Kennesaw State game, got postponed. So this weekend they have a three-game series against Syracuse starting Thursday. They will not play Easter Sunday. Then they got a kind of interconference game against Auburn a little bit. So they got some stuff coming up. So a little bit of a tough stretch here. They've lost the last two weekend series, but they still stand at 8-4 in the conference. And they've put themselves in a great position. And so we want to, we want to shout out the Lady Jackets for those who are on the home run watch. They currently stand at 60 home runs for the season. Their competition has hit 35. So, again, chicks dig the long ball.
Golly.
So, and the really cool part is that is 60 home runs, only 122 strikeouts and 134 walks. So still getting more walks than strikeouts. Usually when you're a kind of a bashing team, that leads to a lot of strikeouts. Again, they have cut down on their strikeouts. So just want to shout out the Lady Jackets. Wish them luck against Syracuse starting Thursday. Let's get back on the winning track and let's kind of carry this forward. They are getting into the they are definitely right in the middle of the second half of their schedule. For those of you who look ahead, the ACC tournament starts right at near the beginning of May, May 8th. So we are just over a month away, got about a month and a half to go here for the team. So good luck, Lady Jackets.
Absolutely. Shout out to them. We're going to wrap this up with some transfer portal news, Stephen, because one, the basketball transfer portal has opened officially, which is weird that it opens during the NCAA tournament, but I digress. And you also have some, you know, kind of stragglers in the football transfer portals. I think that the spring one is opening here soon, or it might already be open, considering the guy that I'm going to talk about. But there is one guy from the football team that is transferring out, and we'll probably have more news about people coming in and out as we get deeper and deeper into spring practices, as more kids find out, you know, oh, I might not be starting like I thought. I want to go somewhere where I can play. There'll probably be some more movement on that front. But Georgia Tech will be losing a wide receiver by the name of James Blackstrain. You might know him. He was a relatively highly regarded recruit as a wide receiver coming out of Holy Trinity Epicostal Academy down in Cocoa, Florida.
Epicostal?
Epicostal.
Episcopal.
Sorry. Slightly dyslexic.
That's not it. I apologize. I repeated the scores from last week, but I knew it wasn't Epicostal. So.
Okay, well, thank Episcopal. You. So James Blackstrain was a four-star prospect coming out. Everybody was pretty consensus on that. He had had some great high school numbers. But unfortunately, as a freshman in 2021, he did not see any game action, and he did redshirt. 2022, he got into six games, didn't record any statistics. And then last year, I believe he got hurt before the season started, similar to Leo Blackburn. It was kind of these two guys that were supposed to be the future of the Tech wide receiver room, and they just haven't been able to stay healthy or stay on the field. So he will be transferring out. We wish him nothing but the best. I hope he gets healthy, and I hope he can showcase the talent that he showed at the high school level, at the next level, wherever he ends up going. So long as it's not to an ACC school, because I don't want to have to deal with guarding him necessarily.
Right, yeah. Right. With you.
And then on the basketball side, so Georgia Tech does have two kids currently leaving the program, but we're going to talk about a bunch of kids that have been contacted by the program as well. So and there are two that make sense, although one of them, because of eligibility rules, I didn't know he even had eligibility remaining. That would be Ebenezer Dewona, the center that came in from NC State.
Center, right?
Well, I believe he's going to be a graduate student type thing. I don't know. But
He did kind of – he never really played a ton for the Jackets. If you'll remember, he was kind of nominally the starting center. He would really play 12 to 15 minutes a game. He was just there for the jump ball. But towards the second half of the season, I think he picked up an injury that he never really quite got back from, wasn't able to get back into the rotation, and so he will be transferring out with, I believe, 1 year of eligibility remaining.
You know, remember the old – you don't remember this because you're young enough, but some of the alum listening, remember the old days when players just played from 4 years and
– I remember.
And maybe they had an injury redshirt and they would just say red.
You can redshirt your freshman
all
year.
All year we've heard Ebenezer Dewan is a senior. He's a senior. He's a senior. And it's like, oh, he's transferring out. I'm like, to what? Prudential? To be an insurance agent? What is going on here?
You might want to anyway, I'm not going to diss him. He was a good soldier.
He was strong. He did what he did well, pretty well for this team, which is be a big body, box out, guard the other team's, monster player.
Boxed out like the Buffalo.
Yeah, and gave up a few fouls, and he did remind us of the great Rodney Howard.
That's NCAA tournament.
Chippy layups all the time.
That's NCAA tournament player, yeah. Rodney Howard. Yeah. Put some respect on his name.
Yeah, I'm not putting any respect on Rodney's name.
So the other transfer is another one that I kind of figured might happen.
By the way, if I put respect on Rodney's name, he'd just fumble it out of bounds.
Okay. You know what? He's still a kid. Let's be respectful.
No, I'm just stating truth.
Okay.
He's a nice guy, but... Okay. He would take my compliment and it would dribble out of bounds. He'd travel with it.
Anyway, we've gotten off course. The other transfer.
He would let somebody else steal the compliment and go the other way. That was the last one, I promise.
I don't know, because I thought the last one was 2 months ago. So the other.
Rodney Howard was in the NCAA tournament. Oh, what has happened to our – this is why it's hard to be a Tech fan.
Hey, listen, shout out to all the other Georgia Tech transfers. That's after I talk about Amari Abram, yeah. I'm going to shout out some of the other guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
Before we talk about who's been contacted. But Amari Abram will be leaving the Georgia Tech program. He will go to his third school in 3 college years. After averaging 8 points at Ole Miss last year – or 2 seasons ago with a relatively bad team, he came to Georgia Tech. He started for about 2 to 3 games.
Yeah.
And then was usurped by freshman sensation Nathan George. And he never really got back into the rotation. It was one of those things. He seemed like more of a combo guard to me. I think they were trying to see if he could be a point guard. That experiment did not work out. Shout out to him, though. When he did play, he played. He did what he needed to do in his limited minutes. He always came in and guarded as hard as he could. He would hit a couple open threes here and there. There's some talent there. I mean, preseason, there are guys talking about him as a fringe NBA prospect if he could get, the opportunities necessary. So there's talent within that frame. There's talent within that kid. Hopefully he gets the program for him and the shots for him.
Yeah. Listen, sports is such a unique thing. And one of the reasons we love doing this is we both love sports. And Amari Abram, when he transferred here, was considered the jewel of the transfer class that we got. Yep. He was the highest rated prospect. And there is nothing wrong with Amari Abram. And he started the season as the point guard. Like you said, Nathan George, once he had kind of just moved his way into the starting lineup, there weren't a lot of minutes for Amari. But listen, Amari was a great teammate. Amari, from everything Damon said, he worked hard in practice. He was prepared for the times he had to come off the bench and never embarrassed himself, never embarrassed the team. He is a solid person, it would appear, and I wish him absolutely the best, because unlike another person that I had fun laughing about just because of the way he produced or didn't produce on the court, Amari didn't do anything on the court that was, bad.
I noticed he was always one of the first guys off the bench to congratulate a teammate.
If you watch the games, absolutely.
He was invested to the very end.
Correct. It's, and that will serve him well wherever he ends up. And I want to hear about Amari Abram next year the way you're going to talk about a couple of the guys who left the program last year and had great seasons, and I'm happy for them.
Yeah, so we want to mention, I mean, obviously Georgia Tech had lost about 6 players last year. I will mention 3 because some of them, one of them, I don't even know where he ended up. 2 of them ended up at some smaller schools that I, They weren't even big-time players for
Georgia Tech. We don't have to follow up with everybody who leaves.
But there were two that were very impactful. So the first one is Davon Smith. He transferred to Utah in the final season of the Pac-12. And it's interesting. He improved in every facet of the game. So he played almost 30 minutes a game for Utah. He shot 45% from the field. Did shoot 33% from three. He always has had a bit of a questionable jumper. But he averaged 12.7 points, 6.1 rebounds, and 6.9 assists. He led the Pac-12 in assists per game. He also posted 4 triple-doubles on the year. So, and he's been balling out in the NIT when Utah got, because Utah got into it. So Utah was a pretty good team, and Davon was one of the best players on that team.
And you and I talked about this. You know, when we watched Davon last year, we kept thinking, you know, we think there's so much more there. And sometimes coaches and their systems might hamstring players a little bit. It would appear maybe Davon found the scenario where he could be as free and creative and utilize all of his amazing athletic skills that we all saw. And so, man, he found a good place.
He does seem like a type of guy that would fit more and more of an open attack. And yeah, Josh Pastner.
He's not the greatest Princeton offense basketball player.
Well, he's an athlete. Right. He is a great athlete who, if you let him kind of play, I think it might have been, it's one of those things where, like, the more you have him think, the less of an impact he can make, because he's always thinking instead of just kind of letting his natural athletic ability take over.
Yeah.
And that description might fit for the next guy we're going to talk about, and that is Jalen Moore, the guy that we constantly drew parallels to Moses Wright's career.
Mm-hmm.
He transferred to Oklahoma, another very pretty good team. I believe that they were in the conversation on the bubble of the NCAA tournament for a little bit, but in one of the better conferences in the Big 12, he was a 31-game starter, played 25.5 minutes a game. He, as well, he shot 51% from the field, 41% from three on 2 attempts a game, which is not nothing. He averaged 11.2 points, 6.7 rebounds, 1 block per game, and was a very good player for a pretty good team.
Yeah, I got a chance to watch a couple of Oklahoma games. I didn't watch many, but they were a team full of athletes. Jalen fit right in. And he was definitely one of their leaders. And just, again, good to see guys who used to play for us not playing in the ACC, not playing for Georgia, and finding places where they're comfortable and their talents can shine the best. So shout out to both of those guys. And yes, Rodney Howard did make the NCAA tournament with his team.
Yes, he did. But then there's another transfer that I just want to briefly mention as a fan favorite at this show. Kiro Martinoff is back in the transfer portal after averaging 2.6 points and like 2.5 rebounds at Eastern Michigan. He's transferring back down.
To where?
Who knows? He's in the portal. But if he couldn't get on the floor for Eastern Michigan, we'll have to see. He might go the way of Tristan Maxwell.
So he tried the directional school. Now maybe he needs to, you know, DeVry has a really good basketball program, I think.
Hey, go talk to Grand Canyon.
Well, they are in the tournament.
100,000 students. So the last thing I just want to mention, Georgia Tech, despite having 4 freshmen committed in this class, as well as 1 potentially on the way, Daquan, the point guard, decided on Florida State officially. He's in their class. It made sense. It's one of those things. I don't know why you would want to come play behind Nathan George for at least a season, maybe 2. But Georgia Tech has still been active in the portal. As it's open, Damon Stoudemire is still working the phones. I'm going to mention a couple guys here. The first one that was mentioned was back on the 16th of March. Hampton transfer Jerry Ding had been contacted by Georgia Tech. He was a freshman coming out. He's been contacted by a good amount of Power 5 schools. Some of the bigger ones, Detroit Mercy transfer Jaden Stone, coming off a season where he averaged 20.8 points and 5.6 rebounds. As well as 1.5 steals. He's been contacted by Georgia Tech. The most impressive one, he's like a top 5 guy in the portal right now, is Stanford freshman Kanan Carlisle. He's been mentioned in some NBA mock drafts, so there's still a potential that he just goes to the league. But he's from Atlanta. He averaged 11.5 points last year. He was a former top 50 recruit. Georgia Tech was on the initial short list of teams that contacted him, as well as Gonzaga and Baylor. And Arkansas as well. And then the other big one was a center. I'm scrolling up for his name. I have to go through all the Twitter ones. It is Cliff Omoruyi coming out of Rutgers. We know Georgia Tech is connected to Rutgers.
Yeah.
He's been contacted by like Oregon, Auburn, Florida, Mississippi State. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. But he's a big center, averaged 10.4 points, 8.3 rebounds, and 2.9 blocks.
Well, again, Damon is clearly recruiting his butt off, and I think he wants to have as many players as possible to use and get some depth and improve the overall skill level at multiple positions. But you have to like where we are, only graduating a couple of players, one of whom apparently can graduate and be a graduate transfer as well.
Well, listen, Davon Smith is a transfer from Georgia Tech by way of Mississippi State, now at Utah. I mean, it's the new era of college basketball.
And Damon has said he doesn't necessarily want to rely on the transfer portal, but clearly the guy knows what he's looking for in players and wants to attract as many of them as possible to kind of figure out who works and who doesn't. And so it's going to be interesting. So, yeah, so there you go. We've gotten to the end. Joshua, one other thing that I want to point out is that tomorrow, as we're recording this, tomorrow will be Thursday, the 28th of March. And that is a special day in my household because it's the start of the Major League Baseball season.
Woohoo!
And one of the things that What's the Good Word is covering is one of my favorite baseball teams, which is the Braves. Mm. So if you are a subscriber to What's the Good Word, along with our flagship show, the Georgia Tech Podcast, because that's What's the Good Word, that's what it's all about, you are also doing some other shows. So give a quick shout out to at least the Braves podcast that you're doing. What can people expect if they listen to that?
They can expect one episode a week breaking down the results, trends, upside, downside, who's playing well, who's hot, who's not. Prospect reports. Like, I'll be covering every aspect of the Atlanta Braves organization that I can get my hands on, especially when the season starts.
And not only that, you are also very in-depth with some of the stuff going on in minor leagues. You'll cover some of the prospects.
Yeah,
And along with that, of course, you also cover, there's a podcast about the Falcons and there's a podcast about the Hawks. One of the reasons why we're expanding is you're very interested in all those sports, want to get involved in that as a career. But the other reason why is because the Georgia Tech podcast that we are doing, we are now in the midst of spring sports. And within about a month to a month and a half, things are going to start to wind down and we're going to get into that summer semester where there's not much to do. It's during that period that you don't have to move away from What's the Good Word.
Yeah.
You can catch some Braves news and then you can catch the off-season news of Hawks and Falcons, because we will probably start going from the Tech podcast to about once a month rather than once a week. Maybe twice a month. Maybe we'll do it. But that's what we did last summer. I know our listenership went down a little bit in the summer, so I want to give everybody an opportunity to know that you don't have to leave the channel, because we will talk about other sports. So, for the fan Joshua, this is the alum Steven, and we are wanting to ask you that one question that you all know the answer to.
What's the good word?